Did you know Super Awesome Mix has an app? Go to the Apple App Store today and download Super Awesome Mix. It's free. You could start creating and sending your own digital mixtapes in just a few clicks. Also, there's links to our Instagram account and a link where you can follow your favorite podcast. Speaking of which, back to another Super Awesome Mix. My name is Matt Sidholm, alongside my co-host and co-founder of Super Awesome Mix, Samer Abousalbi. Samer, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, Matt. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's
doing
wonderful.
Great, Samer. You would be so happy. It's finally cooling down here in Texas.
Oh, that's great news. It is as well in New York. And like I told on a previous episode, my mood has just never been better. it's wonderful. So yes, I'm glad to hear that it's cooler there. I love to visit my parents during Christmas and Thanksgiving time. I'm very grateful that I have the chance to do that, but I'm also always really sad to leave like super cold weather to just go to like okay cold weather, because that is how much I love cold weather. It's like I don't even want to leave the Northeast for like a week.
I was the opposite. During the winter when I lived on the East Coast, I couldn't wait to get back to Texas, especially during the winter, because it was just, you know, it'd be 70 degrees here in dead of winter. So
all right, well, let's talk about a place that actually has the opposite weather than us right now. Coming all the way from Australia, another amazing guest queued up. I'm very excited to introduce her, she's had a long, prolific career in the music space, which honestly would take up, like, I think the full 35 minutes to get into. So instead, I will share some highlights. She spent over 5 years as a digital music lead at Triple M, which is an Australian commercial radio network, and she has interviewed countless people in the music industry. She's managed content, did brand work and production work, and basically all the things. She very recently left that role to take on a podcast role at SCA's Listener, and she also hosts the podcast Dug by Us and the Morning Music Feeds, both of which are delightful, and you should definitely give it a listen. So please welcome to the show, all the way from, I believe, Melbourne, Australia, Cassie Walker.
Hi, thank you. And the weather here, I mean, it's cold. it's like meant to be warming up, but I'm in a sweater and track pants and really thick socks because it's freezing. But who knows, tomorrow it might be boiling hot. That's just Australia.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining. I believe it is like almost Friday your time, right? You're like 14 hours into the future.
Yeah, and I mean, so that means it's almost party time, and it's where I am right now. It's International Podcast Day, so I think this is a really great way to celebrate.
I love that. Yes, yeah, happy International Podcast Day. What a delightful medium. It's been so much fun doing this. I actually realized the other day that you know, I had a post recently on our Instagram talking about how difficult it can be to find new music. And then I realized that actually launching a music podcast is a great way to find new music. So, you know, if you're in the market for new music, just launch a music podcast and invite some great guests on the show.
That's so true. I've discovered so much more new music this year. I feel like every week, because we always have these guests and they also introduce us to new bands that, you can just kind of do a little deep dive into. So
yeah,
I agree with Samer. Go ahead and start another pod. There's not enough podcasts out
it's
there.
It's not enough. So. It's definitely not enough. With that, why don't you introduce your mix that you put together for us, and then we'll get right into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like my favorite thing to do and the hardest thing to do is making a mix, right? Like, and you guys would hear this every week, but it's like, it's so much pressure when it's you. Like, I don't mind making them for other people, but when it's me, it's extremely difficult. But I'm doing the 12 songs of my life, like, which is just terrifying, and deciding, like, it's really hard. It's a lot of paper. Like, I'm literally like had this. It was a task. So thanks for giving me some stress this week.
You're so welcome. That was our intention for sure, to give you some added stress in the world.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys are across the news in Melbourne, but it's been really chill, so it's good. I'm kidding. It's just added to the vibe. I'm gonna kick it off somewhere that has been kicked off before on this podcast, and I guess it's no surprise maybe given the demographic, but I'm starting with New Kids on the Block. And I know that that's pretty common, I guess, like I've heard it before on this show, but for Australia, it's actually pretty rare to be a New Kids on the Block fan, and particularly, oh, I just hit my mic, that's so professional, particularly at, at my age, because I'm kind of a younger New Kids on the Block fan, which mm-hmm. made it even lamer to like them. and I stuck with New Kids so hard that I'm still sticking with them today. And I did the New Kids on the Block cruise through the Bahamas, like all of the other diehard fans. Yeah, I'd call myself a blockhead. But it was, you know, it was my first concert. It was my first obsession with music. It was my first learning every lyric. And those ones, you just, you know, it's your first love. You can't forget them.
That is incredible. Okay.
I feel like I have a million questions about this cruise situation. Like, how much did you get to interact with the guys? Like, how much were they around?
Okay, like, so much. So much. It blew my mind. I had Donnie Wahlberg, who, so next to me is my, like, shrine. It's, like, my record collection and my music books. And on the top, I've got all of my specialist things I've collected through my life. Up there is my Donnie Wahlberg Barbie doll that I've had since I was like 5. Oh, so gosh. I'm a Donnie girl, like through and through. And this was before he met Jenny McCarthy, and he swam to me in the ocean and like embraced me with a microphone while he's like emceeing in the Caribbean Sea. And I'm from Australia. Like, that was like the most mind-blowing experience of my life. Okay, like, I mean, it wasn't maybe the most mind-blowing, but it's up there. So, and then like, He would, I mean, you can find it on YouTube, but he would openly just like pash fans like I could have if I wanted to. But then I, you know, I dreamt of this since I was 6 years old. I wrote him a letter at that concert and was like, when I'm 16, let's be boyfriend and girlfriend. And when I'm 26, let's get married. And so I'm 26 on this cruise and I'm like, this is fate. And I was seeing a guy at the time and he's like, look, if Donnie, if there's an opportunity, you go there. Like, I know that this is your lifelong dream.
Oh my gosh. And
I just like, I took the kiss on the cheek and that was me, because I didn't want to get a cold sore, you know, like I didn't want to come out of that.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Face Practice herpes. Safe kissing. Yeah. I'm into it.
I mean, there's so much more I could tell you about that cruise, but you can get very close.
Oh my goodness. I kind of don't even want
to
go through... Yeah, I don't even want to go through the rest of the mix. I just want to keep talking about this cruise.
No, if I had known this was going to come up, I would have prepped a lot more. This is, I'm completely thrown off. This is remarkable.
That's amazing. All right, and I thought my sister was a New Kids on the Block fan, but now she's like, I have to question how much she liked them compared to how much you.
Yeah,
did.
She's a pretty casual fan. Compared
she's a
to
casual
this.
Fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The song is Hangin' Tough, by the way, was the one you chose, yes. Which, yeah. You know, the note I wrote down was, this is the least tough song about being
oh my gosh.
Tough. Yes. Maybe of all time.
That was my take on it, too. I was like, oh, my gosh, don't cross our path because you're going to get stomped. We ain't going to give anybody any slack. And it's like, okay, wow, I am threatened.
It's not as cool when it's harmonized, I feel like. You know, it's just not as tough in that situation.
And their voices are so high because they're so young doing this. But right. I mean, if you want to get into like the nerdy side of things, and I mean, I'm always going to go bat for New Kids. When it comes to those kind of manufactured pop bands, they're, you know, they're all friends from Boston. If you look at the writing credits and the producing credits, Donnie Wahlberg does a lot of it. So I definitely backed the right horse when it came to choosing my favorite boy band member.
Yes, well done.
But, you know, I think they've got a bit more cred, but I don't know. I'm also so biased. I'm going down this New Kids hole. I've got to stop.
Yeah, we're gonna rein in the New Kids talk, because I think all three of us could probably go on this topic for a while. But you mentioned how high their voices were, and that's kind of what I wrote down about our second song, which was Lucy by Hanson. And once again, Hanson shows up on one of their mixes. Samer, I mean, this is going to happen. We're going to have one of the Hanson brothers on the show at some point. I mean, I feel like it's destined.
Yes,
to
it
happen.
Is destined. I mean, that's
so
exactly
many Hanson
what...
songs.
Yeah, Matt and I texted each other just like the instant we got your mix, and we were like, oh my god, another Hanson, we've got to get them on the show. This is amazing.
We gotta track these guys down. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna give you a heads up, you should try and get Taylor. I feel like he has a really broad taste in music, and he's just I was lucky enough to be in a room with Hanson doing press for about an hour and a half, So I worked, as you said in the intro, for a rock radio station, and our sister station is a pop station. And so when I found out they were coming into the building, I switched jobs with the pop person. I was like, I'm looking after them. And so all the interviews they did, I was there in the room, and I didn't let on that I was obsessed with them. I just kind of sat there and was very professional. And then it got to the end, and I somehow convinced the publicist that I was going to do an interview with them for this rock radio station, of which it's nothing's ever happened with that. Like, it's in my personal collection and that's it. And
that's
I did the interview. I was super professional. And then at the end, I was like, I just have to tell you guys something. Zach, my lucky number is number 22. And he just looks at me and I was like, because that's your birthday, is the 22nd of October. And he just was like, okay. And I was like, yeah. And then I sent you a best friend charm when I was in year six. And I always looked at your photos to see if you were wearing it. I don't know if you got it. I went full nerd. And it's like, I've been a professional in the music industry for so long. I interviewed, you know, like, I just am always dealing with talent. And then there's something that happens when you have your teen crush right in front of you. You're always going to crumble.
It just kind of, yeah, you short wire. I totally get that. I get that. That's
so
amazing.
I'm sorry. But yeah, so Lucy is the song I've got on my mixtape because it's Zach doing lead vocals. And I just imagined him singing it to me.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. What a fantastic experience that you got to have. Was he like nervous as you were talking about like telling him these things? Did he kind of like eye the exits, or was he like totally used to it?
He totally eyed the exits. I felt so embarrassed. And then I was like, oh, come on, dude. Like, you know, you could kind of gauge my age. Of course I was in love with you. Like, what
sure,
girl
yeah.
wasn't it of that era?
Yeah, because how old, I mean, you were probably in your 20s at that point, and how old was he at that point?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was, like, only a couple of years ago. So they actually tour okay. Australia a lot. They've got a huge fan base.
That's great.
I mean, they say don't meet your idols. I'm kind of wishing I left that one in Fantasyland.
All right, well, now I'm just increasingly more curious as we go through this mix about all these stories. So let's go to track. They keep getting more, just better and better. Let's go to track three. You've got We're by Killing Heidi. Tell us
yeah.
about this one.
I'll dial it back, I promise.
No, keep turning it up.
Have you guys even heard of this band, Killing Heidi?
I had not. No, I had not.
Yeah, I was just curious. So in like 2000, Killing Heidi was the biggest band in Australia. And they're fronted by a female. At the time, she was a teenager. And my dad actually heard the song first. So we have a youth radio station here called Triple J, and it's the place where I guess, you know, youth listen to, and it's where people get broken. And they toured Nirvana for their only Australian tour, just to give you like an idea. So my dad heard this song really late at night and was like, oh, like, you know, kind of clocked it and thought that I might like it. At the time I was like 12, 13. I just started high school. I wasn't really fitting in. And so then, you know, the next time he kind of got, you know, into the rotation of when it was going to be played, he's like, you have to listen to this. And so that's how I first heard Killing Heidi. And it spoke to me instantly. It was like, you know, everything that I had held inside of me of being confused with being a teenager and navigating life and not knowing, you know, at that point, you just think that the world is so big and where do I fit in? And that song, We're, which is on my mixtape, just really spoke to me and really changed my life and my path. And I swear not every story is ridiculous, but I call them my almost famous band because I just love them so much. And I ended up sneaking into their shows when I was underage. And then they would sneak me into shows. So instead of my parents having to take me, the band met me because I got kicked out by security once when I was like super underage. And they kind of took me under their wing. And you know, now Ella, the singer, is still singing the band Go Back Together. She was just revealed on Australian, The Masked Singer. And she now has a podcast at the same network that I work at. And it's just really nice to still cross paths today. And I always say that if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be doing what I do.
Wait, and she remembered you after all this, like, after whatever time period this was. She was like, hey, yeah, you from the shows. Like, you guys, you had a relationship with these guys.
Yeah, yeah, we became buddies and we kept on crossing paths. And it was just this really wild thing. And I would, you know, go to high school and I went to this pretty strict, you know, ladies' college. And I would go to high school with a couple hours sleep and just be like, these kids aren't even going to believe them if I told them I was hanging out with, you know, like the biggest band in the country. And they were just such nice, real people. And I think that for me, you know, the music industry was just this fantasy land. And I mean, it still is. But they really taught me that it was achievable to, or it was obtainable, and people in the music industry were normal, and they were just so kind. And if they weren't, if they kind of were like, cool, little kid, see ya, I probably wouldn't have believed in the industry and wanted to be part of it as much as I was, and I am, and I still do.
That's amazing.
That's so, I love that. My goodness.
That's such a great story. And for the people out there who've never heard the band before, I thought, you know, you talked about how you know the lead singer. I thought her voice had a very Sheryl Crow kind of quality to it, had that very sound, and a little bit harder rocking than kind of your Sheryl Crow hits. But I thought her voice had kind of that same sound to it.
Yeah, I mean, she would love to hear that. It's they've definitely got that country kind of influence. And I think they toured with Fleetwood Mac here as a duo, like it's a brother and sister kind of who lead the band. And yeah, it's so great to see that they're still doing things. But I'm also fascinated when people have no idea who this band is.
All right. Well, track four, and I really hope you have a story about these guys, because this goes way back. Okay, you went with Get It On by T-Rex.
Look, I mean, I haven't met them. Unfortunately, I mean, in my dreams, but that's just, they stayed there.
Sure.
Of which today as well would have been Mark Bolan's birthday. You know, I have these early memories of exploring my dad's record collection. And I guess the more I talk about music in this kind of retrospective way, the more I realize how much my dad was an influence on my music taste. So shout out, Dad. And so I remember, you know, flicking through his physical records and just seeing this T-Rex record. And it was a greatest hit. So it was a bit of a, you know, probably money-making compilation. But the cover was Mark Bolan with his wild hair and a glittery outfit and just this rainbow of lights behind him. And before I even knew what rock and roll was, I was just drawn to that. And that for me is the beginning of my love for classic rock and collecting records as well. I've now kind of tapped into that, and I stole that one when I moved out of home. And it's, you know, was the beginning of now what is my huge record collection. So I think it's just a nod to my love for classic rock, you know, that raw form.
I actually think a lot, like I've been watching way more music documentaries and learning a lot more about the music like world ever since starting this podcast, really, and of course loving every single minute of it. But what I always like have to like realize that what seems like so, let's say, normal, for lack of a better term, but you know, let's say within range and or within the bounds of like what we expect to see, I have to remind myself that like in the 70s, and you know, this is out in 71 originally, and so like late 60s and 70s, having like glam rock was like a really big deal, you know, because it was like so different than anything that had come before. And it was just kind of like, it was loud, and it was so, yeah, it was very bright and just in your face. And I just have to imagine that must have been so shocking to like people to like see that. So it's interesting that even you as a child looking at these album covers had that kind of experience in discovering it. I think that's super cool.
I should have known then. I had no hope. I was just destined for rock and roll.
The only other note I have about this song is that I just love that he keeps complimenting this woman, saying that she's built like a car, which he's really into cars. So coming from him, it's like a really big compliment. But I'm not sure, like, if I was like on Bumble again one day and I was like, you look great, you're built like a car, I just don't think I'd get a match. You know, I don't.
Well, like sting like a bee. It's like, thank you.
I have a severe bee allergy. That is not a compliment.
Right. But you know, things were different in the 70s, so maybe maybe that line would have killed back then. Who knows? All right, let's go to track five here. Just a fantastic loud song. I really just turned this one up whenever I listened to it. You've got Vampire Racecourse by the Sleepy Jackson.
Yeah. Again, another Australian band. Are you familiar with the Sleepy Jackson?
No.
So there's this huge Ben Lee song that I, oh, called Catch My Disease. And there's a lyric in it saying they play the Sleepy Jackson on the radio. And that song was quite big. Oh, and so I think people,
yes,
you know, they also he references Good Charlotte in that song. But the Sleepy Jackson, again, I discovered on this youth station, Triple J. And it was me, you know, I remember like exploring my creative side. I was making a lot of art. I was, you know, late teens in that high school, kind of ripe for the picking. And it just was so unique sounding for me and sound like nothing else. You know, it wasn't radio fed, although I did discover it on the radio, but it's not really commercial. It's, you know, nothing that my dad suggested. It's no one at school was really listening to it at the time. And so it was like that first band that I was like, yeah, I own them. It's mine. and I still love them. The song Vampire's Racecourse is just such a fun, yeah, like you said before, you just turn it up and you kind of rock out to it. But that album Lovers is, I think, one of the most underrated Australian records that has ever come out. The band kind of popped out and disappeared. But the frontman, Luke Steele, has gone on to do Empire of the Sun. So he's actually huge. He lives in LA, I think, now. So he's kind of long gone from here. But, you know, that band is long gone. But they're just a really unique sound. And I just adore them.
Yeah, I thought what was really cool when I was reading up on them is their name came from the fact that they had a drummer who was narcoleptic, which I thought was just a really funny origin for a band name.
It's so hard.
I love hearing about. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's like band names are just so unique. Like, I mean, everyone really loves it, Nickelback, but you know, if you think of Nickelback or Weezer or Slipknot or any band names that are just so normal to us now, they don't actually make sense.
No, that's right. That's a great point. Yeah.
That is a really good point. Now I'm just going to start to look at all of them with this like fresh eye. Like the first thing that popped in my mind is probably because of the name of this song, but like Vampire Weekend. Like, what does that actually mean? You know, but, right. But I love Vampire Weekend, but like what?
It sounds like a bad Nickelodeon film.
Right.
That's a good call. Yeah. Like one of those body swap type movies where it's like, right, you're just a vampire for a weekend.
For the weekend, yeah. Or I was thinking maybe like, maybe you're a vampire, but you can't hide it. Like you have to hide it during the week because you're in school. And so then on the weekend, you're like a vampire. You know, something like that. I think we got a TV show in the making here.
We might have something here. Yeah,
I think.
I'm going to write a couple pages. I'm going to do a couple.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I can see Lindsay Lohan as the mom in this one. I've got
ooh,
her.
Good call. Yes. Because she did that. Didn't she do a Freaky Friday remake?
Yes. Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
so
this would be perfect. Have her come full circle. Play the mom this time. All right. Let's get back into it. Number six, another kind of big, big hit. Lust for Life by Iggy Pop. Of course, came out in 1977, but really got big when it was featured on the Trainspotting soundtrack. So when did you discover this song?
Yeah, so I only just recently watched Trainspotting. thanks for lockdown. But I first heard this song going out to indie clubs, you know, when I was 18, 19, and dancing on sticky dance floors and drinking sugary drinks and meeting friends that weren't school friends and weren't friends from my area. I would travel an hour and a half to get to the city and that's where I met, you know, my people. And it was just a really, really fun time for me, just discovering who I was outside of, you know, my family home and school. And that song was kind of always played on these cool club dance floors. And so, you know, when you just, and I just listened and I still, you know, if ever I'm in a mood or need a bit of a pump up, it's my go-to. And I've, you know, since discovered Iggy Pop and what a talent, and he still is just creating such good music. And the live shows are just, oh, they're amazing. And it's just part of that, you know, that discovering yourself on a different level.
I actually had written in my notes that I can't believe that we've gone this long in the show and hadn't had like an Iggy Pop song, because so I'm really glad that this is our, you know, that we got him on a mix. Because what an iconic opening sound too to this song. Like, you just hit play and you're just like, yes, like this is an amazing song. I had also written that it could qualify as our one of our like ongoing mixtape references of what, you know, the lyrics. You're like, wait, what was that? Because it's called Lust for Life, and you're like, yeah, I'm really living life. But then you get into it, and it's literally just all about like drugs and addiction to drugs and and all of that, which can be kind of rough. It can be a little rough if that's what you're referencing. But you know, anyway, it's great.
I mean,
great song.
That's not me, but I'm not much of a lyrics person, right? So I just like love the feel and the sound of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got Lust for Life tattooed on my body. And then I'm like, I have a lust for life. Like, I really live by that motto of like the, you know, kind of just go for it as opposed to the like get into it.
That is great. That's awesome. Oh, and another kind of like bingo moment. We have another guest now who has a tattoo of a song that happened earlier.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
From Sleeper Agent. Yeah. So that's great. Nice.
But he ended up with like three tattoos.
I think he had
songs,
three.
Right?
Yeah. Three songs.
So that's a high
tattoos mark
to be, but we've got six songs left. So Cassie, maybe you could top that.
Well, I have got other music. Yeah. I've got like Eagles of Death Metal tattoo and brand new lyrics. Although now I feel like maybe that needs to be covered up. I'm still sitting on the fence with that. So we'll just leave those ones.
All right, well, let's move on to track 7 here. You've got a Joni Mitchell song and the beautiful, gorgeous song California by her. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, I grew up, I don't know if you can see in the background. Obviously, you can't if you're listening to the podcast. I have a piano in the background. That's a great. I swear I'm a professional. I played piano a lot and did a touch of singing, although I wasn't very confident. And when I was in that, you know, I guess that phase of wanting to find influences that made, you know, kind of softer music cool, because, you know, remember I was this like dirty punk rock kid, I discovered Joni Mitchell, and I don't remember who introduced me to Joni Mitchell, although actually now I think of it, I know it's Killing Heidi in an interview, actually. That's, you know, when it just comes to you. I was trying to think earlier, I was like, how did I get into Joni Mitchell? I feel like I've always loved her, but it's just that kind of like that, you know, that warm blanket that you carry around with you, and it's a bit tattered on the edges, but it just makes you feel warm and fuzzy. And over the last year or so, particularly when times have been a bit tough here in Australia or all over the world, I've been listening to Joni Mitchell's album Blue a lot more. California is the song that's on my mixtape. I spent a lot of time in California, and it's, you know, got a lot of my heart. And it just, it's, you know, that kind of melancholy of heartbreak and sweetness, and it just really sums up a lot of my emotions, and it's a classic. It's just an absolute classic. I think every super awesome mix needs a Joni Mitchell track.
I agree. We might have to put those as requirements now for upcoming guests.
We could program the app. We could program the app that way, that if you don't have a Joni Mitchell song, you can't save. We can't save your mix. Yeah.
Right.
Or write an algorithm that assigns you a Joni Mitchell song based on the mood of your other songs. Yeah.
I love that. That's great.
Oh, that is like a dream come true, or just a mood on what, like, what did you eat today? What time did you wake up? What are you doing today? Here's the Joni Mitchell song for you.
Here's your Joni Mitchell song. That sounds like a great. Somebody get cracking on that website. Somebody
we're
out
creating
there.
$1 million ideas here. I mean, I don't know how to make money from that, but we're getting there.
There's a way. There's got to be a way.
There's always a way. Yeah. That's great.
That's great. All right. Now, track number 8 here. We get to I'm Stranded by The Saints.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, this was a song I was not familiar with, but when I was just running through the mix the first time, this song really stood out to me. I was like, wow, this is an awesome song. And then come to find out, it's considered like one of the greatest rock songs in Australian music history.
Yeah, well, it's like the first, I mean, it's, you know, it's everything is, I guess you can argue if it's true or not, but it's considered one of the first Australian punk songs. And The Saints have influenced, you know, a lot of punk bands all over the world. So, again, it's one of those bands. It's a weird thing with Australia. Like, I mean, I love AC/DC and I love In Excess. and I love Tame Impala, but we're so much more than that. And it's just hard. I get, you know, back in the old days, it cost a lot of money to ship the Saints records over to America. So, hey, it's fine. We have the internet now. So, but this is, I mean, it's ruckus and ridiculous. And it's funny because it's like my song with me and my partner. And it's like makes no sense because, you know, it's saying I'm stranded and it's the birth of punk in Australia. But I'm a DJ when places are open and I can DJ, and I DJ, you know, a lot of punk and rock, and I have a long running residency at a really cool little rock bar here in Melbourne. And I was DJing one Friday night and this guy walked in and, you know, kind of noticed him, and he complimented me on my music, and I was like, oh, thanks, I'm just playing my favorite songs. And then he came up, he's, you know, quite nervous and shy, and was like, I hate to be that person to make a request, but I'd love to hear the Saints. And I was like, wait 20 seconds. And literally it was the next song I had lined up, and it was I'm Stranded by the Saints. And he's now my fiance. And so it's so weird to say that it's our song, but it is. So it's, and that, you know, for me, obviously is just like such a great moment in my life. And it's, we, you know, we got engaged interstate and we returned to Melbourne and we went to my friend's restaurant, which is quite nice to celebrate. And the waitstaff were like, let's put on your song. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And so we're in this quiet, you know, hoity-toity restaurant blasting sure. the Saints. It's so it's got a really special place in my heart.
That is so great. What a fantastic relationship song.
Yeah, I mean, it needs a bit of explaining, but it's special to us.
I feel like if you had like a, if you hired a string quartet for your wedding and you did like the march down the aisle, they could do maybe like a really cool cover of this song. You know, like I always love orchestral covers of punk and rock songs.
I'll just march down the aisle to this punk version. It's fine.
Perfect. I like it. I love your style. All right. Let's go to track 9 here. A song that I related to really hard just off of the title, as which is, I'm looking forward to winter by Gordon Holland.
Yeah, so Gordon Holland is my fiance, and
oh snap!
What a big reveal!
That's a first.
I don't spruik his music often, but you know, I guess like growing up and, you know, I guess watching Almost Famous and living this rock and roll world, there's nothing more romantic or nothing that I guess a girl pines over than having a song written about them. And like in my teens I had a couple that weren't too nice, so as an adult I've had a really beautiful song written for me, and that's this song. And he's just, yeah, like I said before, he's such a wonderful person, and it's such a lovely sweet song. It's the one of the most amazing gifts. I mean, the second best gift of being the first is him, but it's just really special, and he's a really great musician. He's in a garage punk band as well, which sounds completely different to this. But yeah.
Yes, this is a very chill song. I loved it. It was so nice to listen to. And it was really funny coming off of the punk song to then go to this one and be like, oh yeah, huge shift in mood. But that's so cool. I love that. What a special gift to receive.
Well, and great job constructing the mix that you kind of tell us the story about the Saints and meeting your fiance. And then you're like, oh, by the way, he's a musician. Here's one of the songs. I was like, that's yeah. Well done.
It's, I mean, I'm doing it in the sequence of birth. I mean, the first song I had to scrap it out because I just can't stand it. But I was, this is what I mean. This is such a task. It's such a task.
It really is.
But a fun task, right? Like, tell the other potential guests listening
so
that it's like, no, but it's a great time.
It's
right?
Such a great
so
time.
Fun.
And it's been such a nice experience to, you know, to sum up my life in these songs. And I'm like, you know, kind of working out the years and the ages and what I've done. And it's actually been a really, really beautiful experience because we don't really take a time, like take stock of what we've done a lot of the time. You know, we're always just kind of going forward, and you know, Monday to Friday you got to work and make dinners and all that stuff. And it's been a really, really beautiful experience for me to sit down, and I'm going to share this and the stories with the people that I've, you know, that have touched me.
That's great. Yeah. And he is, I mean, I really enjoyed this song. So that's super cool that this is your fiance, because just independent of that information, I was like, this is a great song. I'm going to listen to this over and over again. And then it's like, oh, wait. Well, cool. Next up, track 10, Everything Is All Right. by Motion City Soundtrack, rock band from Minnesota.
Yeah. This is a band that I discovered on the US Warped Tour. So a bunch of my friends in Australia had seen them supporting MXPX, and I remember they were going on about them. And I just didn't really listen to my friends. And then I got to the States. My friend Claire, who's still one of my best friends today, was like, come on, you have to see this band. And I was just hooked as soon as they came out. Like, the handstands on the keyboard, you know, they just had so much energy. And the songs were, again, like, sad as all hell and so melancholy, but so much fun. And I just, you know, made it my mission to see them every day on that Warped Tour. So I kind of was one of those kids that hitchhiked with the Warped Tour for a week that became 3 years. And I think Motion City Soundtrack is the band I've seen most live, apart from a band that I've worked, you know, apart from bands that I've worked with, that I've sure made the decision to see live the most. I adore them, and Everything Is All Right just reminds me of my best friends and that love for music and the connection. A lot of us met at gigs. You know, we'd rock up to gigs alone and leave with friendships. So that's this is a shout out to my besties.
That's really, it's so beautiful, and it's so amazing that you got that opportunity to just like to do that and to follow a band and see them every single time. I'm curious, like, was there really a moment where you thought, okay, I've seen them enough? Or is it truly that you could just like keep watching them and keep watching them? I'm just curious.
No, it's truly, I could keep watching them. So like when I was working the Warped Tour, my like one rule was that I would have the time off to see them play. And it was, you know, for me, a lot of the time it was, you know, that their 40 minute set was my 40 minutes to kind of have time to myself and breathe and not be, you know, working or not be in, you know, responsible mode. I can just rock out and lose myself in the music. And on their last tour to Australia, there was definitely one of their last tours to Australia because they would come out here a lot. I saw them in Melbourne, and I just was like, they were playing in Adelaide, which is another interstate, the next day. And I was just like, I need to go. And I just like booked it on my credit card and I just went, and I just didn't even think about responsibilities. Like, it was just such an impulse, but I just had, it was actually their last tour. I was like, I think that's why. And I mean, they're reunited now. Thanks, guys. But it was something that I just had to do. And my friend, you know, my best friend Claire that I mentioned earlier, she lives in Adelaide, and I just knew that it would be, I thought it was going to be our last time to see them together. So I definitely didn't reach my quota with them. I'd still go see them again, like multiple times.
That's so cool. I love that. I need to think about that for myself. That's going to be my homework after this recording. What band would I just want to see like over and over and over again? That's great. All right, let's take this home. Track 11, a gorgeous track. You've got Simmer by Hayley Williams.
Yeah. I first discovered Paramore on Warped Tour. I saw them on their first Warped, which, you know, was such a mind-blowing experience now looking back. And so I've seen Hayley, you know, grow up, and I loved the latest Paramore album. That was kind of, I jumped back on the bandwagon with them. And mm-hmm. I was curious as to what her solo album would be, and I'm just so impressed by the poetry of that first solo album she's now released two, and how brave it is, you know, and how raw it is, and the conversation around mental health, and particularly about being a woman, and you know, going through so many throes that come with you when it comes to growing up. I feel like Hayley Williams, and there's artists like St. Vincent, and there's Tori Amos, and there's Fiona Apple, and there is just so many incredible, you know, Brittany Howard, strong, amazing women who are just finding their voice. I mean, Billie Eilish is so young, and she is just so empowered with her voice as well. But Simmer by Hayley Williams is probably like my most played song for the last 2 years. And it's just, I feel like it's given me strength as a woman and voice as a woman, you know, to be like, hey, you can talk up, and addressing that mental health stuff, you know, it's really relatable, but it feels comforting to know that you're not alone through a lot of that stuff. And it's, you know, it's such a brave but impactful thing for her to do. So it's a bit of a deeper song and bit of a deeper chat, but and it's cool, you know, it's so different. Like, yeah, you know, it's not pop punk.
No, it really is. I hit play on this and I just immediately felt my mood shift in a good way. I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is different, like you're saying. And then I just felt like haunted by the chorus and then like the breath that she takes during like and you know, having that mixed in and you just, yeah, you feel it with her. And it was so powerful to listen to it. I had not heard this song, so thank you so much for introducing me to it, because this is going to be one of the ones that I take away and listen a whole lot and dive more into her work.
Yeah, you said before I could dance, and I'm dancing now just listening to that song in my head. Like, it's just, you've kind of got this little jiggle, you know? Like, you can't not bop to it.
For sure.
All right, well, last track, and I love that this is on the mix for so many reasons, but your last track is Islands in the Stream by Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. And what I love about this, well, I love so many things about this song, but last year I discovered when watching the Bee Gees documentary on HBO that the Bee Gees had written this song, which I was just blown away by. So tell us, I mean, maybe this should be on every mix, but tell us why you put it as the last track on your mix.
Yeah, well, first off, shout out to that doco. Shout out to the Bee Gees, fellow Aussies, technically. And if you look at Kenny Rogers, I mean, he could be a Bee Gee. Like, look at him. He could be one of those brothers.
Yes, a little bit longer in the back maybe, but with the beard and everything at this time, he could have been a Bee Gee. Yeah.
He absolutely could. I love Dolly Parton, and I know that it is so cool to say, and I just adore her, and she makes me feel good. It's like, I mean, I used to be religious, but I'm not anymore, but I like it, a Dolly Parton concert to go in a church. You know, the first time I went, I was just, well, actually I've only been once, the first and only time. I was just overcome with joy and confidence. And I have Dolly's little book of quotes always by my side. If ever I just need to pick me up, it's like my affirmation cards is Dolly Parton quotes. And, you know, my obsession has gotten, I guess, like a pretty pretty safe level, but it's pretty real. You know, it's a deep love that I've got for Dolly now. And it's just such, like, you gotta just lose yourself in that song and have a laugh and just, you know, embrace some of that Dolly energy of not taking stuff too seriously. And I think that's just the perfect way to end a mix. Whenever I DJ, I like leaving it on a fun note. You know, generally I play Lust for Life or this, because it's just, I like people leaving my listening experience feeling good.
That's really great. It's funny, I tend to put mixes where I end on a down note. Now I'm really worried if maybe I'm low-key depressed or something. I always start really high energy, and by the end, it's like, you know, Death Cab for Cutie, I Will Follow You Into the Dark or something, and it's like so down.
Yeah, Samra, we actually have been meaning to talk to you about that. Yeah. Cassie and I are both worried. Okay, we love you, and we want what's best for you.
We're here for you. But also, just listen to some Dolly. Whenever you're in a Death Cab mood, just be like, Death Cab, Dolly, right? Like, it's alphabetical order. So all you have to do
is
then,
that's true.
Yeah, literally just whenever.
I'll just throw some in.
Yeah. It's morning here. Once we're done, go listen to 9 to 5 and just be ready for the rest of your day. Okay.
All right.
Cassie, it's gonna keep you up all night. So don't listen to it now. Wait till the morning and you can listen to it.
I'll go put on some Death Cab for a Cutie instead.
Right, yeah, that will lull you to sleep for sure. It's lovely. Thank you so much for this mix, Cassie. This was absolutely wonderful. Thank you for your time and for all the thought you put into it and your stories.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's honestly, it's been a really, really nice experience. It's been really fun to have a giggle and talk about my life through songs. And I'm going to be putting this one on rotation a bit. It's a feel-good vibe for me.
Good. I think everyone out there is going to make this part of their rotation as well. So now that they've gotten to know you, where can people connect with you, Cassie?
Yeah, I mean, Instagram is where I share everything. So I'm at Cassie, Cassie, _ Walker, Walker. I don't know why I always spell out my surname. It's a very, very common name. And there you can click on my link and find all of the bits and pieces I'm working on, because there's too much to talk about here.
Very good. Very good. And if you want more of Super Awesome Mix, check us out on social media at Super Awesome Mix. And of course, you can bring a Super Awesome Mix to your next event if you go to superawesomemix.com and click on events. We're already booked a couple of weddings and some other things coming up for people. So a lot of excitement there, which is a lot of fun. But there you have it, another Super Awesome Mix for your collection. And so for Cassie and Samer, this is Matt, and we will see you next time with another Super Awesome Mix.
Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com.